Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace, celebrating 20 years of discipling others through Charis Bible College worldwide. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the beginning of my fourth week of teaching on financial stewardship. And as I've said on previous broadcasts, I know that this is not people's most favorite thing. There's a lot of people that don't like this, especially a television minister. There's just so many bad examples of people that are just bleeding people and using gimmicks to get money and stuff. And I don't have a way of convincing you of this, but I am not teaching on financial stewardship for my benefit. I'm teaching on this for your benefit. I know how this has changed me and helped me, and I believe it'll help you. Statistics show that problems over finances are the number one cause of divorce. It causes people to commit suicide when they have financial problems. There are people that go through stress. It affects their health. This is just a problem, and the Word of God has a lot to share about finances that will help you. You know, when I teach on healing, I don't teach on healing because I need to be healed. I teach on healing to help you. When I teach on how to overcome, you know, stress and problems and how to walk in joy and victory, I don't do that to try and build me up. I do it to help you. But the moment you go to talking about finances, there's immediately a prejudice that people have, especially against television ministers, thinking you're just after my money. I'm not after your money. I'm after trying to help you so that you can get beyond these pressures and these problems associated with money. What I want to do this week, this is into my fourth week, the beginning of my fourth week of teaching on this, I want to begin to specifically talk about how that prosperity isn't selfish. You know, this is the number one criticism that I get from people anytime I preach on prosperity. They think that either you are preaching on prosperity for selfish motives so that I can get people to give to me, or that I'm teaching other people how to be selfish. And it's just all about you having a bigger house and a bigger car and a bigger this and a bigger that. I will admit this. I've heard preachers preach on this that I think that that was their motivation. I really do. Now, I'm not the judge of anybody, and I think that there are people who preach on prosperity who are doing it in a proper way. I have some friends who are very prosperous and live in multi-million dollar homes, and I think they have a good attitude about prosperity. I don't think that it's wrong. I'm going to be sharing more detail on this. I'm not against everybody who preaches on prosperity, but I will have to admit that there's people that have been doing it wrong, and it just comes across wrong. I heard a preacher one time talking about how that they believed for a dollhouse for their granddaughter, and I forget the exact figure, but they made a $5,000 dollhouse for their granddaughter to play in, and they were teaching about this as being prosperity. Again, I'm not saying that that couldn't happen, but that leaves the taste in people's mind that, man, you're building a $5,000 dollhouse. There was another preacher that actually went to jail, and part of it was because he took money and made an air-conditioned doghouse for his dog. I'm telling you that things like that leave the taste in people's mouth that what you're calling prosperity is just opulence in all of these things. You know, in the buildings that we've built, I want our buildings to look nice. I want them to glorify God, but I don't want them to be opulent. I want them to be good. I want them to glorify the Lord, but not extravagant in that way. And here is how I answer this criticism. When you go to teaching on prosperity and people say, so you're just preaching having all of this stuff and it's all selfish and all of this. Did you know that if you understand the things that I've taught, I've been teaching for 3 weeks prior to this program on prosperity, and if you understand, especially this parable from Luke chapter 16, that the real purpose of money, or the highest use of money, is to touch people so that in eternity they will welcome you in to your everlasting habitations, Luke chapter 16, verse 9. If you understand what I've said, prosperity really isn't for you. It's so that you can be a blessing. It enables you to bless other people. A scripture on prosperity that really ministers to me is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. It says, "For God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work." Notice the terminology. The reason God makes this grace abound towards you and you have all sufficiency in all things, it's so that you can abound to every good work. It's not so that you can just have, you know, all of this stuff piled up and all of these resources and that you can be influential and people can, you know, bow and scrape as you walk by, that somehow or another you're the elite. No, it's to enable you to abound unto every good work. I spend over $1 million a month on television airtime. And you know what? The Lord has impressed on me that even though, like, I've covered the United States, we're on primarily in the mornings. We only have one main network that airs in the evening. And the Lord has instructed me to start trying to go on in the evenings and prime time to be just in front of people as much as I possibly can. And I believe I'm going to have to double my television expense in order to be able to accomplish this. This is the reason that I want money, is so that I can preach the gospel, so that I can share things with people. It's not about me having a bigger house, a bigger car. I've told in the past, I drive a Ford Escape. I live in a house that I built for $60,000. I'm not against people that live in $1 million homes. You can live in whatever you want to, but I'm just saying I live where I want to. I'm not taking all of these resources that are coming at me and I'm not just, you know, storing them up and using them for myself. I'm using them to preach the gospel. I'm building Bible colleges. I'm seeing people's lives change. And it takes money to be able to do that. This is what prosperity is all about. I believe that in a sense, 2 Corinthians 9:8 is a definition, a Bible definition of prosperity. It's having enough of God's resources to be able to abound to whatever it is that God tells you to do. Not to barely get there, not to just be on the verge of destruction and failure all of the time, but to abound, to have a superabundance so that whatever doors God opens for me, I can take them. You know, I've just recently added a television network that cost me, like, I forget the exact amount, but it's over $200,000 a month. I couldn't do that if I didn't have money. And it, my experience is that it takes a period of time for stations to begin to start paying for themselves. And with this is a secular network that has a short segment on it where they put Christian programming in. The secular networks are more expensive because they reach more people than the Christian television stations and networks do. So it's expensive, but it takes even longer on these secular networks to hit a break-even point. And so I'm looking at having to invest 6 months minimum, or maybe 9 months, or possibly a year before I see this begin to start producing more revenue than it cost. And you know what? I couldn't do that if I wasn't prosperous and if God didn't give me money. But this is what I use money for, is to preach the gospel, to reach out and touch people's lives. So I'm saying that true prosperity, if you understand it correctly, it enables you to abound unto every good work, to touch people. It's not about you just getting things. And so the people who criticize ministers who preach on prosperity and they say, "I've got enough. I'd never ask God for any more. I may not have very much. I don't drive a brand new car. I don't live in a very nice place. I can't wear really nice clothes, but I've got enough. I would never ask God for any more." And therefore, they criticize anybody who drives a nicer car, lives in a nicer house, or does anything, and they criticize that as saying they're greedy. Did you know that I actually think that that attitude that I've just expressed right there is the greedy attitude? Because you're saying that you think that prosperity, money, is for you. And once you get your needs met, you may not live in the best house, you may not drive the nicest car, you may not have the nicest clothes, but it's okay, you're covered. And once you're covered, you don't want any more. You don't believe that God wants you to have any more. That's because you think money is all about you. And once your needs are taken care of, then forget the rest of the world. You're going to let the rest of the world languish. You're going to let people go without hearing the gospel because, after all, you've got enough. It's not much, but you're content with what you've got. That is a truly greedy, selfish attitude. You think money is for you, and once you're taken care of, forget everybody else. I'm telling you that if you are content in the house and the car and the standard of living that you live, well, then you ought to go to believing God for more and prosper and use this anointing that God has given us to produce prosperity. And if your needs are taken care of, well, then send it to me. Send it to somebody else. Put it into your local church. Help preach the gospel and help get the word out. See, the people who say, oh, I've got enough and I don't want any more, that is selfish. That's greedy. And there's people that would sit there and look at me and criticize me and say, man, you've got all this money flowing through and you're just greedy and selfish. I can guarantee you there are very few people that would watch this program that will put more money into the gospel than I do. There's very few people that would put a higher percentage of what you get into the gospel than what I do. I am not using this prosperity for me personally. I'm using it to enable me to get out and preach the gospel and to touch people's lives. And if you understand it correctly, then prosperity isn't selfish. It's not about you getting bigger this and bigger that and having more of everything. It's about you being able to be a blessing. Again, I go back to 2 Corinthians 9:8. God makes this grace. It's His grace. It's not based on works. It's not because you deserve it. But He makes His grace abound towards you so that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. That's what prosperity is for, is to enable you to abound unto every good work. You know, I've met people who are millionaires. On paper, they've got millions and millions of dollars, but it's all tied up. It's all invested. It's all in something. And I've had millionaires come and say that, you know, I would like to give. Everything's all tied up. It's leveraged. I don't have anything to give. You know what? That's a poor person. I don't care if on paper you've got millions of dollars. You should not evaluate your prosperity by your assets the way the world does it, but rather how much you give. I believe that God looks at how much you can give, not how much you have. And of course, you can prove this looking at the example in Scripture about the widow who gave two mites. I mean, two mites was less than a penny. It was about half of a penny. As far as monetary value, she probably gave less than any other person. It says that the Lord stood against the treasury and He saw all of these rich people casting lots of money into the treasury. And I don't know this for sure, but I've read a commentary where they said they used these big old brass things and that the rich people had gotten ways where they could put those coins in there and make them swirl as they go down and make the most noise, draw the most attention to themselves. They put in all of this wealth and all of these things. This little poor widow went and put two mites in, half of a penny, and yet the Lord said she put in more than everybody else. Now, how could that be? It wasn't more as far as just the monetary value, but it was the percentage that she gave. She gave 100%. She gave everything she had. And God saw that as a bigger gift than the person who put in maybe thousands of dollars worth. See, the Lord evaluates prosperity differently than we do. And there are some people that may have all of this money, but they just tip God. And they may even give $1,000 or $5,000 or $10,000, but compared to what they have, it's a pittance. It's just tipping God. And there may be other people that don't have a lot of money, but they give proportional to what they have, a large proportion. God sees that as a much greater gift. And likewise, there are some people that have all of these assets on paper, but they got everything leveraged, tied up. They can't give very much. And there may be somebody else who, in the natural way of looking at things, doesn't have near as many assets as others. And yet, they live in a way that enables them to have cash that they can give to their church, that they can support people who are preaching the gospel, that they can bless people around them. and God sees them more prosperous than the others. Let me turn over to a passage of Scripture. This will just blow some of you away. But in Genesis chapter 39 and in verse 2, it says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." Now, the background of this, in the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis, you see where Joseph's brothers had sold him into slavery because they hated him. He had these dreams that he was going to reign over them and rule over them, and they hated him. Plus, their father, Israel, had favored Joseph and had made him a coat of many colors. So there was a lot of things going on here, but whatever, the brothers hated him and sold him into slavery. And so in the 39th chapter, here's Joseph standing on an auction block. And the way that they sold slaves, they literally stripped them naked. They took everything, even their underclothes, off of them so that the buyers could see the merchandise. They could see what they were buying. So here's Joseph standing on the auction block, completely stripped naked. And God says he was a prosperous man. And here's Potiphar, the guy who bought him, and he was probably wearing the fanciest clothes, had jewelry on, rings. He was rich. God didn't say he was a prosperous man, but he looked at the slave, the one who was stripped naked, being sold as merchandise, and said he was a prosperous man. God evaluates prosperity differently than we do. True prosperity isn't judged by the size of your house, the kind of car, the rings, the clothes, all of these kind of things. I believe that true prosperity is judged by how you are able to touch other people and affect them. And money is a part of that. But in Joseph's case right here, he didn't have any money, but yet he had the favor and the anointing of God on him. And because of that, when he entered into Potiphar's house as a slave, Potiphar began to prosper. He began to start having resources. His businesses were never run as well. And Joseph got promoted to being the very top person in Potiphar's house because the favor of God was upon him. And everything that he set his hand unto prospered. See, that's prosperity, is how you can bless other people, how you can help other people. Joseph was a slave. He didn't have that much personally, but man, he was prosperous. He was affecting other people. The anointing of God on his life was touching other people. That's a prosperous person. And when we talk specifically about finances, true prosperity isn't defined by how much stuff you have, all of the physical, natural things. It's about how much you use your stuff to bless other people. You know, it was back about 1995 or 96 that God really rang my bell and gave me a revelation on prosperity. And the way he did it was through a man, Pastor Dean Melton. He pastors Freedom Christian Center in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I could spend a lot of time talking about this, but this man impressed me because I saw people. His church has a lot of poverty people in it, a lot of minority people. He has a lot of people that the court system releases them from jail with this condition that they have to go get help, and sometimes they release him to Pastor Dean. I've been with him when he saw people come out of jail. I was with him one time when this one man came out of jail, and I saw Pastor Dean start discipling him and teaching him how to use his money. And I've actually been there. Pastor Dean often wears these military fatigues that has pockets all up and down the legs. And I saw this one guy come to him and ask him for money. And Pastor Dean said, "Why do you want money?" And he says, "I'm hungry. I hadn't eaten breakfast. It was lunch." He says, "I want to go get something to eat." And it was his money. Pastor Dean was keeping his money for him. And he says, "Well, did you get up and study the Word and pray this morning?" And he says, "No, I was at church late last night cleaning up, and I slept late, and I had to hurry and get to work. I didn't have time this morning." He says, "If you don't have time to study the Word and pray, you don't have time to eat." And Pastor Dean wouldn't give this man any of his own money. And I know that there's some of you thinking, "Well, that's absolutely wrong. That's terrible." But did you know in a year or two period of time, this same guy that I'm talking about, I saw him start making up to $10,000 a week. because Pastor Dean trained him to put priority on first things first, put the spiritual things, his relationship with God ahead. And I saw this happen so many times that I just decided I was going to learn from Pastor Dean what he had to know. And anyway, it's a long story, but God really gave me a revelation. And one of the things that impressed me is that Pastor Dean gives 90% of his income away. He pastors this church of around 200 people. He doesn't take a salary from the church. He has his own tire business, and then he's bought some houses, and he has rental income and things like this. But all of the money that he gets, it doesn't come through the church. He gets it through his own businesses that he started. He puts 90% back into the gospel, lives off of 10%, and Pastor Dean lives in a house that he bought for $5,500 or $2,500 back in the 1950s. It's a 700-square-foot home. And this man is prosperous. He has lots of money. Millions of dollars flow through his hand. And yet he's not spending it on himself. He doesn't drive brand new cars. Matter of fact, I've bought him cars. He won't drive a brand new car. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong. I drive brand new cars because I'm gone so much, I don't have time to mess with a car that needs to be fixed. If it needs to be fixed, I just go buy a new one because I don't have time for that. My lifestyle. But I'm saying there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm saying this man wasn't using his prosperity for himself. He was using it to promote the gospel. And that really impressed me. I had a prejudice, a bias, just like many of you do. And I thought that anybody who preached prosperity, it was all selfish, and they were just using it to pad their own pocket. And yet I saw through Pastor Dean a man that was using his finances to promote the gospel. And yes, he's prosperous and God takes care of him and he has lots of money. He carries lots of money on him, but he uses it to bless other people. He is not a person who is just amassing all of these huge assets for himself. Now, he's got multiple houses. He's got a house on the beach and he's prosperous. I'm not saying that he's just a poor person and takes everything. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying I saw a man that used prosperity to be a blessing instead of a way to be blessed. And that really touched me. And because of it, I dropped my defenses and praise God, I've started receiving prosperity and I use it to preach the gospel. Hopefully some of you will take what I'm saying and you'll hear my heart and you'll recognize that I am not preaching on prosperity in a selfish way. I'm doing it so that I can be a blessing. Before you can be a blessing to others, you yourself have to be blessed. So I encourage you to drop your prejudice and your barriers and let God prosper you. And if you've got enough, if you don't need any more, well then prosper and give it to me so that I can preach the gospel and touch more people.
The friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries not only support the worldwide broadcast of Gospel Truth Television, a portion of their gifts are used to support more than 20 other ministries around the world. Ministries like Redeeming Love, a privately funded outreach to orphans in the Congo, founded by Julie Mapitano, a graduate of Caris Bible College, Colorado.
Coming to Caris was really a dream for us because we didn't know who we were in Christ. We didn't know the unconditional love of Christ for us. But knowing that we wanted to go back home to our own people, to share the gospel to them, to share the unconditional love of God to them. So our dream was like, go back home and be able to tell other people the good news. The name of the ministry is Redeeming Love, Dear Congo. We help kids, orphans, to be able to go to school. We help single moms and the kids to be able to get something to eat. So we pay tuition, we pay uniform, medical, and food for the family. And knowing who I am in Christ changed my life completely. Knowing that I'm loved by Him changed my life completely. And even my children, knowing they have God's favor in their lives, really helps them to be wiser, to be smarter, and that's all due to Caris Bible College.
Andrew Womack Ministries and Caris Bible College, changing lives and changing the world for 20 years. Go to charisbiblecollege.org for more information.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in book form in either English or Spanish for a gift of any amount when you contact us. Or you can get the book as part of the Prosperity Package. This package includes the Financial Stewardship series on your choice of CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program, the book, the Financial Stewardship Study Guide, and the Financial Breakthroughs DVD. This DVD includes 6 true stories that could change your financial future and help you experience the freedom of turning your finances over to God. The entire package has a catalog value of $115, but today you can get the Prosperity Package for a gift of $85 or more. Make sure to specify the CD or DVD when you order. Go to awmi.net and click on Today's TV Offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is titled Prosperity Isn't Selfish. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In December, Andrew will be hosting 3 very special evening in December Christmas dinner theater events at the Sanctuary in Woodland Park. On the 4th and 5th, experience the variety show, The Gift. On the 12th and 13th, a Broadway-style musical, God With Us. And on the 18th and 19th, experience an old-fashioned Colorado Cowboy Christmas. Seating is limited at these special, fully catered Christmas dinner theater events. Go to christmasatcharis.com to purchase tickets today. In January, Andrew will be speaking in Phoenix and Mesa, Arizona, and will be back at the Sanctuary in Woodland Park, Colorado for the annual Charis Bible College Men's Advance. And in February, he'll be in Banning, Pasadena, and Ontario, California. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.